I'm Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on sci-fi and action films. You guys, great news. I will be on a massive spring tour, and I want to invite you to come see me. Let's just run through the April and May dates, shall we? Cap City in Austin, April 29th through May 2nd. Houston, I'll be at the Boondocks, May 3rd. I'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota at Acme on May 5th. In Baltimore, I will be at Auto Bar on May 6th. And I will be in Philly at World Cafe Live on May 8th. That's just the first week of May and the last week of April. All those opportunities to see me. I love to see Wham Bam Pow listeners on the road. Rhea will be at many of those tour dates with me. You can check CameronEsposito.com/shows for all sorts of ticket information. And now, let's start the show. Well, welcome back from that lick. I hope it licked ya. Man, it is so great that I am not alone in a studio recording this. You know, I mean, I would be fine. I would carry the show. But thank God I don't have to. Thank God I'm joined once again by my regular panelists, co-hosts, friends, countrymen, ears. It is the Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. Let's hear it for Rhea Butcher. Let's Hello. Hear it for her.
Thanks. Oh, some clapping.
How you doing, Rhea?
I'm ears. I'm all right. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty darn good.
What'd you do today?
What'd I do today? I went to the Verizon store and returned a bunch of garbage that they got us to buy that we didn't need.
So much crap,
so much
that we didn't need
shit.
It. We didn't even realize till we were leaving.
And we were like, why do we have two bags full of technology we don't need?
We had not gotten a deal.
Fitbit trainer thing, and you
I
had
know.
Like a $200 Bluetooth in your bag. And he was like,
he just kept telling us
great
that things
choice.
Were a deal. So I believed him. And we bought a bunch of
stuff. We bought a bunch of extra crap.
We bought a bundle.
But it was a bundle
just
of junk.
Means a group of things.
Yeah, so that
it wasn't
you know,
really a deal.
But we got the phones and kept the phones. And
yeah, we got new
those
phones.
Those are fun. Yeah.
Because I broke my old phone.
Yeah, you broke your old phone.
Throwing it against a wall in a fit of rage.
Fighting about whether we should get new phones.
That's true.
And thus
an
decided
and
that
to be
fight.
Alone.
Yeah. So yeah.
Ricky, how's your phone doing? The Coco Palau, Ricky Carmona, how's your phone doing? Where are you at?
I'm so glad you asked me how my phone doing because I might have gotten out of my car on Friday night.
Oh no!
And been
you
like,
got a cracked screen.
Ricky, check your phone.
Oh girl!
And I threw that bitch up in the air, and then I saw it tumble down like the bone in 2001.
Oh no!
Yeah.
And just crash.
Oh man, how did those dudes look in those monkey suits? Pretty realistic.
Pretty goddamn dope.
Pretty, yeah.
Pretty goddamn dope. They're very easily distracted. Just throw a black thing in front of them. They're like, they make that noise.
I'm
which
sorry
is weird.
About your phone. That's tragic.
Well, it's just a phone, which
sure.
is, you know, luckily.
True.
I feel good. I feel dope. Yeah, sad phone. Too bad. But otherwise, things is good. As you saw when I walked in, I got that Hoop Dreams on Blu-ray.
You have Hoop Dreams on Blu-ray.
Hoop Criterion
that is an
Collection.
Amazing movie.
Oh, I'm telling you, just came out recently on Criterion, and right away I was like, Ricky, talk to that. Boom, 2-day delivery.
What did it say back after you talked to it?
Ricky, I'm on the way, yo. Yeah. I'm on the way.
We're in Chicago, and we don't have a lot of opportunities.
Get your ass down
so
here.
This is a movie about that.
Get your ass down here, Arthur. Get your ass down here, William.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know, right? Right?
Can't did wait you ever see There Are No Children Here, the Oprah adaptation?
No,
that
I did
like
not.
A real Chicago, like growing up in Chicago and seeing Hoop Dreams, well, living in Chicago, which was like a real thing. And then there was a book called There Are No Children Here, which I think it's also like a true story. Then Oprah adapted it as a miniseries and it was like on TV. And it was wild because I grew up in the suburbs. I did not grow up in like the South Side or the West Side of Chicago. So seeing my own city portrayed, but places that I hadn't seen before, or places I didn't go very often, or places that, like, we drove through on the way to the city. As
How
places
fast
where people
would you drive
lived.
Through?
Yeah. Well, my dad likes to take shortcuts. That's my dad's whole thing. You just get off 290, and then you drive down Harlem. You're going to want to take a right on Ogden.
Yeah.
It jogs. So you got to follow it as it jogs. You're
One time
pop up to California. Keep taking that north.
Can I interrupt and tell you that I have lived in quite a few places. I have now lived in California, Oregon, Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana. Lived in all those states. And Chicago is the one place that gives the most ridiculous directions in terms of, like, because you said then it jogs. One time I went to a work interview in Chicago, and this guy was like, yeah, then you're going to sort of jug handle around. And I was like, what in the hell
jug handle.
Are you talking about? And he was talking about, like, when you get off of the expressway, it sort of, you know, it loops around.
He's
like, so then you're going to take that jug handle around and then go to, and I was like, what?
Did you ever get told to make a loop-de-loo? And you got to make a loop-de-loo.
I've been told to make a loop-de-loo.
Make
in my
a loop-de-loo.
Life. I've been told to watch because it'll be Did kitty corner.
Told, yeah.
You're going to make a right.
You go up right. You'll
kitty
go,
corner.
You're going to go straight ahead and then make a sausage.
Also, shout out to street names, Chicago street names like Ogden.
Ogden's is great.
Great.
Did you like that I brought up Ogden?
Love Ogden.
You know what's my favorite? And we'll move on to the actual show after this, but I just want to say that Chicago is an amazing city.
I think I know which one's going to be your favorite.
We have a street
I think
that is spelled P-A-U.
Ooh, this is not the one
L-I-N-A.
Oh, here we go.
And it is pronounced Paulina.
Thank you.
What did you have, Ricky? What, do you have another?
No, the other one, Goethe.
Oh, Goethe.
Yeah, Goethe. Right. Yeah.
There's no, Goethe, there's no R in the spelling.
Yeah.
Well, that I think is like, that's a German dude. That guy is a German dude who made some shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're just like paying deference to him. I don't know who the fuck Paulina is.
Some lady.
Casimir Pulaski
Paulina.
Day.
Yeah, shout
Casimir
out.
Pulaski Day out. Which, by the way, is did you have this? Or do you know about this?
Sufjan Stevens? Yes.
Sufjan Stevens? No,
never mind.
Casimir Pulaski Day. When you're a kid that grows up in Chicago.
No, we didn't have that
this
day.
There's this extra holiday that you only have off if you haven't used.
Snow days?
The snow day. So if you have, like, not any snow days, then you get to take Casimir Pulaski Day off because he's a Polish dude who was like one of the original dudes that came to Chicago.
Is that what it was?
On a horse from the revolution. Something against England, maybe.
I hope everyone's enjoying this.
Someone else.
Very factual history lesson.
But it's, well, I think I've proven my point that it's kind of, we're kind of shitting on him anyway, since if there have been too many snow days, whoops, sorry, Casimir, you don't even get a day. He only gets a day.
Rock the Casimir.
Yep, that's what I always say. All right, movie news. Ricky, got anything else about Chicago, our city?
Let me see. They got that lineup for Lollapalooza.
Yeah. Great. Well, guys, movie news, Ex Machina, have you seen the trailer? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's from Alex Garland. He did 28 Days Later, he did Dread, which we have watched on this very show.
I think we've actually talked about this trailer.
We have hollered about this trailer.
On this very show.
Have we?
I don't believe you were here for
you
that,
and
Kevin.
Ricky did.
So let's catch up with you.
I'm so
about
sorry.
It.
Yes,
no, it's okay.
What did you think of the trailer, Kevin?
I'm just rolling with it because people are actually talking about it more and more now that it's getting closer to the release date.
He's been giving a lot of interviews about his connection to AI and his predictions about AI. I do think that this movie is interesting because I think it is going to get some buzz because of who he is and the past movies that he's done. Also, obviously, there's a bit of press going into it right now. And we've seen movies on the show. We watched The Machine. We've watched movies that include this type of character. Like this, that Svedka, is that what she sold vodka for?
Yeah, Svedka.
The Svedka vodka woman?
Yeah.
I feel like Svedka was, they're like, they had no idea that they were predicting the future of the film industry.
Well, what's
when
funny
they had that
is,
chick sell vodka, because that woman, that like, curvy metal woman with like an iPhone body, like she's like got white hips and white boobs, like actually plasticky looking. She looks like a bubble Mac computer, and then a human woman's face. Like that woman's everywhere. How much do you guys think we're gonna see that woman in movies?
It's just very funny to me that they chose that imagery for their campaign because to me it looked outdated from iRobot.
That's what I was going to say. Who came first? Svedka Robot Lady or iRobot?
iRobot.
iRobot? Okay.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
And then there's the iRobot vacuum cleaner. But it's just funny because, like, she seemed outdated, but now it's coming back again. Do you think that
character design just exists because of CGI? Now we can make that look so good, so we're going to do it. Because what I mean by that is...
You mean the white thing?
What I mean
the white
is the, the fact that we can take somebody's full face and it's not like an animatronic robot.
Right, whatever. It doesn't look like Peter Weller in RoboCop.
Can pop their face. And we'll talk about this later in the show, actually. But we can just take somebody's face, isolate it, and then just put it on a different body. So therefore, like... The most shocking thing you could do is then whittle away the body that's supporting that human face. Like, that's the most contrast you could create. I will say, for all the problems I had with Chappie, I really did like the robot character design because I felt like it was something so new. We've gotten so, like, clean and, I mean, even her mechanics, like, she's see-through.
Streamlined.
Yes. Ricky, yeah. Yes, exactly. Streamlined. Well, right? Because that is one thing, watching Chappie, I had this reaction like, oh, those dudes are not going to be able to run fast. They're so clunky. Like, why we think that these other robots we've made up are, like, faster runners. We made it all up.
They sleek. They're sleek. What they're doing is they've figured out the benefit of CGI in the sense of, like, we don't have to have an animatronic robot in the scene now. Now we can, I mean, without jumping far ahead, but like, I mean, in Fast and Furious, we can CGI somebody's face onto somebody else's body and it looks pretty damn realistic. So now we can get a robot and meld a human kind of face on there and it looks pretty damn realistic. They're taking like advantage of that.
Yeah.
You know?
And also,
I think this, and in the Ex Machina, it seems like this is either like a very good, consistent new level of it, or maybe they've figured out like what the next step in it is.
Right. I also think that her design, it looks like prosthetics. Like, it looks like what we now see in like the fanciest, most athletic prosthetics, you know, like Blade Runners, people that run in the Olympics and stuff like that. Like, that's what she looks like to me. So there is some connection to what we actually see in the world right now. Our most futuristic stuff is, you know, like you're saying, sleek. All of our phones are, there's no buttons on them.
Yeah.
And then our, you know, like the legs that we give people that we want to succeed and go really fast are, like, you know, aerodynamic and beautiful and curvaceous. Everything's curved now. There's like no hard lines. I just think that's a very interesting aspect of this movie.
She's like Star Trek, bridge, Apple Store, sleek, white, shiny. She has that look to her, right?
Yeah. I also think that something Rhea and I were talking about today, we were talking about, I was thinking about like how we watch movies now and how we watch TV now. And I was thinking about how much social media has changed our experience of movies and television. Because the reason that television is so good now is because so many people are invested in television because social media creates this feedback loop where we can watch together. Like, we used to value that about movies, like how we used to value sitting next to each other and taking in an experience. Now, a movie seems isolated. There can be 60 people there. There can be 600 people there, but it's not 6 million. It's not 6 billion. So it doesn't feel big versus when you're at home and you're tweeting, or like connecting with something larger than you. And I just think all of these movies that are coming out that are about like, how are we going to connect in the future and how do we connect now and what matters and is technology real and is it making us feel more alone or is it making us feel closer to each other? Like, that seems to be also what's happening in this movie. Like, I think in this movie and all these other movies that have come out are using this like robot stand-in for Twitter.
For know? Like phones. For everything. And, yeah, it's for everything. Because like all of this is virtual reality. You know? Like we used to think, I mean, obviously Oculus Rift is like a thing that's gonna keep evolving and it's not, we've never, ever since we came up with the idea of virtual reality and a physical manifestation of that, we haven't been able to let it go, and we're not going to. And it will happen, but the thing that I've been thinking about is that it has existed ever since the internet started. You know, like,
yeah, that's an amazing point. I mean, you're right. It's
we've been living in a virtual reality for the whole time.
And in The Sims, there's like a little pool of money, and then a guy walks over and like does something. And then the money goes somewhere else. But we have like plastic cards that we give somebody, or now you can pay on your phone.
Now it's in your phone.
It's the same shit. Yeah. We're just the camera is coming out of your eyeballs as opposed to from directly above in Sims world.
Well, I think right away of like two movies when I was a kid, where part of the whole crux of the movie is like, and then the hero gets sucked into the game. The Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
And Tron.
Right. Yeah.
You know, just other forms of virtual reality. What if we, you know, you don't like how it's going in your life? What if you could go inside this game and live like that? I mean, that's when you're a kid, you're all invested.
You know what's fascinating about that though is that just to go along with Rhea's point that now we have this where it's different. We're not going to get sucked into the game. The game is going to get sucked into us. That is literally the movie that's coming out soon, Pixels, that Adam Sandler is going to be in. That's based on that short called Pixels. Video characters falling to Earth and crushing us because it turns out like we were wrong. We're not going into the game. The game is coming into us. All right, cool. This has been fascinating and also philosophical. I don't think we've ever done a better news portion. Unfortunately, we still have two things left and they're stupid as fuck.
Awesome.
Well, not stupid. I just mean like less esoteric. Guys,
esoteric.
Excuse me.
Maybe they are. Maybe they're more.
Those are pledge drive words.
Yeah. You guys, all six Star Wars movies will be released on digital HD, or already have. It's like
I think
Friday
they just did
is when they are going to be out. I think so. I don't know if you've when you're listening to this, but I'm curious about this. Do you think? Okay, so the original Star Wars movies on digital HD, the second three, the originals, is that even going to look good?
I don't know.
Do you think that now that we can make, I feel like that, you know, models and masks and that, sometimes it looks shitty watching a television show from 5 years ago
in HD. I don't want to see, like, every bolt on the Death Star. You know, like, I don't want to see the Allen wrench heads or whatever. Like, I personally wish I could go back and see it in the first time, like in a theater,
on an
original
at home,
print.
At your home in like a television, the television's in a cabinet.
Yeah.
And it's
a console television.
Yeah. Tube. You got a tube back there?
There are 19 channel options on the front.
You got to get up and flip them.
Yeah, you got to get up and change that channel. Yeah. We had a sensor thing. So like that was the technology that I grew up with that I thought was like crazy, that on the front it had... First of all, it had a little door,
yeah,
so you didn't have to look at the channel buttons while you were watching TV, and you would open the little door, and then it had these buttons that would go like, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever, and then UHF versus VHF, and you just had to, like, it was a touch sensor, and I would just sit there and change the channels and think it was so, see how far away my finger could be until it... Oh, there it went.
I remember my grandparents had a remote with two buttons on it.
Mm.
Just
off and on.
I was just up. It was just up.
No volume
and
button.
Down.
No volume.
I don't even think there was a volume button. Seriously.
Yeah, volume was just always at 50 on every television. There was no volume.
It was
just
shit on their
set
house
to grandma.
Yeah, your TV was just on or not. That was it.
But I'm curious because nostalgia is something that we're trafficking in so successfully right now. Not we, actually, but Hollywood is trafficking in nostalgia. I don't think Star Wars is going to be the only series that's, you know, re-released in digital HD. I'm pretty sure, like, everything is going to happen. I mean, because how can they not? Right now, we're literally reselling television shows that went off the air. That's, like, half of the shows
that were not even good television shows.
I mean, some of them were great, but I don't
know.
Coach
was great.
I'm not sure, like, I watched Coach at the time, I think, just because it was on.
Oh, of course you did.
Like, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know any of the names of the characters.
Coach.
Yeah. His name was Coach.
Moose. Isn't the guy Moose?
Couldn't
I don't know.
Tell you.
I guess my point is I watched the show. I don't remember anything about the show.
But I would, going back just a couple steps in this conversation, I would actually blame Star Wars for the nostalgia that we are stuck in. Because if it for Star Wars, actually, if it wasn't for Kevin
Portman,
if it wasn't
Keira
for
Knightley.
Kevin Smith and his movies, we might not be stuck in the nostalgia loop that we are currently stuck in.
I'll let him know.
Yeah, let him know that Rhea Butcher thinks he caused.
I think they need to stop selling Star Wars so much like it's the end all be all. Like that's our generation, and now, it's like telling people, hey, you like the Beatles? Guess how you can listen to the Beatles now, motherfucker. It's the Beatles. I can hear them anywhere I want to. So giving me now you can watch Star Wars in digital HD, or I can watch it on the four different platforms that I have. I can watch it on DVD at my house. I can watch it on Laserdisc, on Blu-ray. It needs to be something like the Lord of the Rings movies. Like they need to sell them a movie that's like a trilogy or something that they can get excited about. Whether it's Lord of the Rings, just Star Wars. I'm just like, oh, cool. I've seen them so many times.
But I do think
in digital HD, it doesn't do anything for me.
You guys are way bigger format nerds than almost anybody I know. So if you're not excited about this, then I'm very curious as to who this is actually for.
I just think
who
cares?
You two people are people who give a shit about. you watch movies.
But
absolutely.
People that give a shit about formats don't care about HD downloads. I don't think. I've never been I still like discs. I might be an old lady because of that, but I like to have a physical. If I love something enough to want to own it and purchase it, wink, wink, I'm going to buy the disc. I'm going to buy the Blu-ray.
I'm more excited about watching Hoop Dreams on Blu-ray, which is not a good-looking movie. It's full frame, but that's something where the options of seeing it before have been so watch it on VHS. We're like, oh, I can see it on Blu-ray now. Now that gets me all crazy. Star Wars, I'm like, yeah, I've already seen it. I've seen
the
it in
only
the theater
version
a bunch
of Star
of
Wars that anybody should give a shit about at this point is them releasing remastered, untouched versions of the original three movies. That's it.
Well, you know,
where
I mean,
Han shoots first, there's
the
no extra
that
job
are
of the Hutt.
Buying this is who I think it's going to be. Parents.
60-year-olds.
Yep.
No. Parents with iPads who want their kids to shut up in restaurants.
That's
going to buy
for
this.
Sure.
Parents who are flying and want their kids to shut up on the plane. Mark my words, you're going to see teeny kids. Watching Star Wars.
I buy them so when I go out on dates and I see a couple with kids, I'm like, hey, give this to you. I'm trying to have an evening here. You little motherfucker won't shut
up.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, final point. I can't believe where we're going with this. I've said this before on the show, and I just want to bring this to your attention. So two things that I was like, we did a pitch it. What crazy toy from our youth, what crazy kids toy from our youth, are they making a movie out of? And you guys both propose, but neither of us none of us thought that it would be Play-Doh. There is going to be a Play-Doh movie.
I hope it's a barbershop, a playoff of Barbershop, the movie. The series, if you will.
Because they keep cutting.
The series.
No. Because of that Play-Doh playset where you smash down.
That's
and then
what I'm talking
the
about.
Hair grows out.
Oh. Yeah.
And so I hope it's centering. I'm just trying to make a joke about the barbershop movie.
I'm with you, girl.
And
I'm
the
with
fact
you.
That Play-Doh has
I'm
a barbershop set.
I'm not against
that's
you.
It.
I was just going to say that I hope that it's just 90 minutes of somebody making spaghetti.
Yeah.
You know, where you shove the thing in, you make the spaghetti.
Yeah.
So
there better
cute.
Be one kid who eats the Play-Doh, though, right? Everybody wanted to eat
and
the
then
Play-Doh.
It's like,
straight up, Play-Doh is delicious.
Thank
salty,
you.
Salty, very, very malleable.
Thank you.
Oh, Play-Doh's disgusting.
Also, they're making a live-action Winnie the Pooh.
Finally. Finally.
I mean, all right. What in the world?
I want to know what that even means.
You know what? I would actually say that is the last thing I would ever want to watch.
A live-action Winnie the Pooh?
That is the first thing where I've been like, that's disgusting.
But here's my question. Is it going to be like Ted, where it's like Winnie the Pooh, but he's animated? But he's animated?
Or
are they going to get human beings?
Or is it going to be like a Zubily Zoo situation?
Yes, Zubily Zoo. But then Christopher...
Ben Vereen as Winnie the Pooh.
Christopher Robin has to be bigger than them.
Right.
So it'll be regular size Zoobly Zoo adult actors with a monster.
With a honey, I exploded the kid.
Child.
Robin.
That movie I would see. Oh, that seems great.
All of it sounds so bad.
I want to see Winnie the Pooh, Werner Herzog, Grizzly Man style. That's what I want to see. That would be so good.
Oh, Baba.
And then the Pooh comes out of the tree and gets the honey.
Cuddly, little, fluffy, all stuffed with...
Is Thumper in it? And then see it, Thumper?
No, not Thumper.
Thumper's not.
Rabbit.
Piglet. And then the piglet comes out.
Deep in the 100-acre wood.
Isn't Rabbit just Rabbit?
You'll find an enchanting neighborhood. Christopher Robbins. There's a donkey named New York as his friend. There's Kanga and Little Roo.
Okay.
There's Rabbit and Piglet. And there's Owl. Mm. But most of all.
Mm. Owl's pretty great.
Winnie the Pooh.
Guys, I would love.
We will be back right after
to audition for Eeyore.
Rhea. You're at the top of my list. I didn't say this earlier, but I'm making the live action Winnie the
Pooh. Okay, great. I'll be
Eeyore. You're at the top of my list. Turn around so I can stick this tack into your ass. We'll be back with more after this.
Wait, what is Eeyore? A fat donkey?
Hey everybody, I'm Emily.
And I'm Lisa.
We co-host Baby Geniuses every other Monday on Maximum Fun.
We interview comedians, musicians, cartoonists, circus clowns, and experts in the field of...
Vacations, the afterlife, cool recipes, self-improvement, fashion, candy, beach boys, girls, turtles, plot twists, women dating, fitness, presidents, hair removal, conflict resolution, Santa, meditation, babies, modern dinosaurs, bullying, crop circles, the Beatles, middle-aged men, experts, teens, life hacking, rhyming, baby talk, personal organization, the name Dexter, Frasier, extreme eating, groceries, being a best friend, movement, jam, art education, America's funniest home videos, stockbroking, spooky stories, genealogy, riddles, Pinterest, IT, magic, revenge, mothering, dogs, ayahuasca, Hollywood legends, street racing, fitting in, celebrity sex, the occult, personal training, the ocean, Dennis the Menace, modern poetry, sugar gliders, Jimmy Buffett, Franks, The Tonight Show with Gun, Johnny Carson, Mountain Dew, theme park safety, dinner parties, butterflies, raccoons, pasta shapes, and Bob Dylan. Join us every other Monday!
Yay!
Welcome back to the show. Now, we have resurrected a segment we haven't done on the show in quite a while, Pitch It, where my two panelists go head-to-head, try and impress me, hot shot Hollywood executive, so I can fund one of their projects. Now, I have in mind not so much a movie concept today, but thank you, Rhea and Ricky, by the way, for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
So good to be here. So good to be here.
Coffee?
I'm good.
You guys good to go?
Me and 2 Chainz just drank that $100,000 bottle of water, so we straight.
Okay, great. I'm so glad to hear that. Because I don't have any water. In fact, I have one of those devices from Tank Girl that I will be collecting water from your bodies.
Okay, great.
Later. So just if you wouldn't mind leaving your bodies when you leave.
I'll leave my body right here.
What I asked you guys to do today is just to pitch me a fight. Now, we are reviewing on the show today Furious 7. I happen to think that there was a portion of this movie that pleased me and the audience I saw it with more than any other portion of the movie, and that was Ronda Rousey and Michelle Rodriguez duking it out in the ultimate chick fight. So I have asked you guys to please present to me a chick fight that I can then build a film around and then a franchise around. Let's start with you, Ricky. Who's going to fight?
Well, it's very simple. It's very idea. You get the two baddest bitches on screen to go at each other. You get my girl Rosario Dawson, baddest bitch on Earth. Who's the other baddest bitch in the galaxy? The Alien Queen. They go hardcore at it.
The actual alien queen.
If you have seen Aliens,
Rosario Dawson versus the alien queen.
Queen,
you thought outside the box. You thought outside the net. You thought outside the egg on this one.
What am I gonna do? I'm gonna bring you half that shit. I ain't gonna bring you half that shit.
Just didn't. This is great.
And I mean, it is just.
Is a power loader involved?
There is a power loader involved. Great. I mean, there will be influences from Sam Peckinpah to Catherine Bigelow to John Carpenter's They Live. It just intense, a
fight, minutes long, no music either. No, I mean, I just want to hear grunts
sure.
and fighting and machine and bones crunching.
I'm going to stop here and say this.
Yes.
One thing. Rosario Dawson, total mm-hmm. badass. You're mm-hmm. right. She would need
Rodar, as
she,
we like
yeah,
to call
the
her.
The old Rodo. She would need to bulk up a little bit for this role.
I think she...
Because I think she's on the thin side.
Yes.
And for me to really take her seriously as a fighter
mm-hmm.
and a lover,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to need her to put on a couple pounds. Do you think she's capable of doing that, willing to do that, ready to do that?
I would refer you to Sin City 1 and Sin City 2, where you can see her in this form. And she
will be Google imaging that later.
Please
my
do.
Bed.
Please do. Take your time with it. and yeah, I mean, just a fight to end all fights. You know, just oh.
Music
by maybe Beyonce and Nicki Minaj, you know, at the end. Beyonce and Nicki Minaj.
That's tough to top. Rhea, can you do it?
Let's see if I can. Okay.
Now, do Beyonce and Nicki Minaj fight during the song?
You know, them...
I want that almost to be like an extra layer.
It's like a verbal battle
that they
have. They've already made one song where they're like, hey, we're both the shit. I want them to have a song where it's like, I'm the shit. No, you know what? I'm the shit. And then my anaconda don't.
Great.
My anaconda don't.
Yeah.
If you like, you gotta put a ring on my anaconda. A cock ring. Rhea.
Gross. So gross.
I think I heard Lindsay from outside.
Yeah. I think she got picked up on my microphone.
Rhea, who gonna fight?
All right. So, I think my first gladiator in this situation is a pretty obvious choice.
Who is it?
So, my first choice is co-star of Edge of Tomorrow, Emily Blunt.
Okay, I'm in already.
Co-star of Devil Wears Prada, carrying a helicopter blade, Emily Blunt.
Mm.
Pretty great choice,
I'm
right?
I'm gripping the sides of the studio because I can't believe how good this is.
Now, my second choice is someone from whom we have not seen much fighting, but we have seen a wide range of roles from this woman. Making great choices. I've been following her career since I was about 12, and so was she. My second gladiator is Reese Witherspoon.
Ooh.
The old with.
Wow.
The old with.
And I would love to see these two women duke it out.
Spooning it out.
Because I really
think... She can spoon it out, but can she take it?
Right. Well, it's blunt force trauma that she might be dealing with.
Okay.
So...
Can she wither the spoon?
Blunt force mama. Does she have a kid? I don't know.
I think so.
Yep.
Yeah, they both have kids. So, yeah, I would love to see those two women fight. And you could have June
She's
Carter.
She's going to leave Reese's in pieces.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boom.
There's going to be a ring of fire around both of them.
Oh, they better walk the line up to it so you can stand face to face.
I can't think of any more movies that have
No election will be able to solve this battle.
After they've been hit in the head, they might see a man in the moon. This fight is wild.
You'd have to be legally blind to not know who's going to win this fight.
That's right. Correct.
Oh, boy.
And Emily Blunt was in movies, too.
She did some stuff as well.
My Summer of Loving Emily Blunt. That's a very specific Emily Blunt reference.
It'll leave you in a
myself.
Looper.
Okay, great job.
Listen, I like what you guys both...
June Carter Cash would do the soundtrack.
Of course.
Ooh,
whoa.
I like
what you guys both brought in. What I like about it is one of them, I think, is very... sellable to a certain audience. Emily Blunt, Reese Witherspoon, that seems like... I'm just going to say it. Every white gal that's 30 is going to go see that movie, right? You know, it's a specific demographic.
Who doesn't want to see their inner turmoil fighting each other?
I agree. Am I an Emily? Am I a Reese? I don't know.
You know?
I feel like Lena Dunham would see that movie.
Yes, Lena Dunham would definitely see that movie.
The white girl inside of me wants to see that movie.
Yes, exactly. Ricky, what I think you brought to this was like a little number one... The flavor of adding the queen.
El sabor.
The flavor of adding the
queen. I just have to say, though, although I love Ricky's choices, it's not going to be a very animated fight in the fact that the alien queen can't really move around much. So it's just going to be Rosario Dawson floating around a xenomorph.
CGI technology today.
But she's got that egg sack she's got to deal with, and Reese... Neither Reese nor Emily Blunt have any egg sacs. They have
That's when the fight becomes emotional,
That's
maternal. A maternal instinct takes over there. The struggle is real.
I love Rosario Dawson as a choice. Let me pitch something for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm having such a hard time making. Because I feel like these movies are so different. And I think we should make them both. Mm. And I think they both should be franchises.
A tie.
Neither of them should be fighting over men, by the way. I think they've got something else going on.
There's no men in this movie.
No.
Right. There's no men in either movie.
They're not in the crew.
Actually, The Rock is in my movie, but it's only a picture of The Rock that's hanging.
The Rock actually can
way
be in
back.
Any movie.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Thank you.
A really great
The Rock is perfect.
Wait, does Rosario Dawson ever stand on The Rock's shoulders and ride him into battle? I think she does. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Do you think that since your movies have tied, in my eyes, that we should scrap both of them and just have Taraji P. Henson fight all of the people you have suggested at once?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. Of course.
Cookie, don't fuck around. I support Cookie. Yeah. All that Cookie do.
Because she's giving you body.
Yes.
Because she's giving you body. Mm.
Yes, you're correct. Where do you want me to put my body? I'm giving you my body for water.
Oh, and yeah. If you just leave your body.
You,
body
do you validate?
I gotta look up some pictures from Rosario Dawson.
Do you validate?
We'll be back right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Griffin McElroy, and this is our serious promo. No horsing around, you two.
If you like just three gentlemen being adults about topics and giving advice for them, to them, My Brother, and Me is the podcast for you serious-minded adults.
No monkey shines, no falderall.
Hey, let me ask you a question. How sophisticated is your palate?
You like Merlot?
Our show is basically like the Merlot and Dark Chocolate of podcasts.
You gotta be grown up to like them.
Our podcast is Toilet Wine.
Listen to the Toilet Wine of podcasts every Monday right here at MaximumFun.org.
Well, you guys, welcome back. Now is the part of the show. We give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose Furious 7. Now I gotta say, this movie is still in theaters, so spoilers do follow. We're gonna spoil it.
We're gonna talk about the movie.
We're gonna spoil it. It is gonna get spoiled. You're gonna get spoiled if you listen. Let's start. Now this movie stars the late Paul Walker. It's his last movie to be released after his death. Vin Diesel's in this, Jason Statham's in this, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ludacris, Tyrese Gibson, and it is directed by James Wan. He did Saw. And I think did an awesome job with this movie.
This movie, yes. Mm-hmm.
So just before we begin with our best and worst, we can talk about that Paul Walker died midway through filming this movie. They weren't sure if they were just going to scrap it or start again or rewrite or how they dealt with it. His younger brothers came in and acted as body doubles. They rewrote the script so that they could use as much of the footage that was already shot of Paul, and then they CGI'd his face off of the bank of six previous movies and used his voice from six previous movies and created the character, I think, very successfully. I'm really impressed with what happened in this movie. I mean, I was actually, I have to say, a little worried until I saw the trailer, because I just think, especially since now we can do this, I think it's really dangerous, you know, and very, like, special to kind of do it right early.
Sure.
Because people pass away, accidents happen, people get sick, and this type of thing has happened in the past in movies, and we didn't have the capabilities to continue or to, you know, like continue in the way that this movie did. And I think this movie was very successful at setting a great tone where what they made was like, it's not a sad movie. It's not a bummer to see him. It's like this wonderful, full movie. I mean, the dialogue is insane. It's terrible. You should just cover your ears whenever they're talking. But as an action movie, it works so perfectly. Every moment is heightening off of the last moment. And then I just want to talk briefly about the way that they dealt with Paul Walker's passing at the end. There's this kind of tagged on section after all the action is resolved where the characters that have spent so much time with Paul Walker and the actors who've spent so much time with them, they just kind of are on the beach and they decide to say goodbye to Paul's character, Brian, who's just going to leave the business, sort of leave the group and have a family. And so he actually ends up realizing Vin Diesel's going to leave him at the beach and without saying goodbye and pulls up his car next to Vin Diesel's. And then you see the two, Vin Diesel and Brian, you see Vin Diesel and Paul Walker driving next to each other. Paul Walker pulls off at an exit in a white car. I was crying my eyes out. Yeah. And I just thought, like, I was so impressed. I just was really impressed with how they dealt with it. It's an action movie. It's a silly action movie that doesn't take itself seriously.
There's so much
opportunity to fuck this up in that kind of environment. And it was just beautifully done.
It was just enough. Like, they didn't spend too much time on it. At the end of the movie, it didn't feel
exploitative because they didn't spend a lot of time.
And it's built... I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that I read a headline of, like, Variety or something that was like, Furious 7 is a perfect eulogy to Paul Walker, and I thought that's the best way to explain it. I mean, it does really feel like that.
Yeah.
Spending time with people that really cared about him, and you can see in the movie that they really cared about this person.
Yes, because that's another thing to realize is that a lot of these actors who did know him really well had to shoot parts of scenes with him after he was not there. So it's not just about the way the director dealt with it, but also I was very impressed with, there's a scene where Jordana Brewster is talking to Paul Walker, and Paul Walker had shot, they're on the phone, and Paul Walker had shot his portion of this, like, goodbye conversation that they're having to each other in case he doesn't make it out of this final battle. And she had not shot her side of the conversation yet. So after Paul has passed away, Jordana had to shoot scenes where she's talking to him about him possibly not making it. I don't know how she did that.
I could tell. Right. It seemed very real, like her reaction, you know, the way her acting. She didn't seem like she was acting, is what I'm trying to say. It seemed like she was actually having those emotions.
Yeah. That's a really good scene, too. I mean, you were talking about how ridiculous the dialogue is, and it is. But that scene in particular is really cool because it does that thing where when couples talk to each other, actually the less that they say to each other, you can tell, like, wow, shit is really happening right now. And there's a lot of exchanges in that where it's just cutting back and forth to them kind of quietly waiting for the other person to say something. And then they don't, but they still respond as if they have. You know, it's just like that. You're significant other. You're being quiet, but you're still kind of talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I thought that was done very well.
Also thought that about Michelle Rodriguez and Vin Diesel's relationship. I don't know if it's like the fault of the script or a compliment to the actors, but I really like them together, and I think that it's like pretty understated. I liked that there wasn't that much like conflict between dudes and chicks in this movie. It's like a team. You're either on the team or you're off the team.
Family.
And they have no...
Family.
Yeah, right. It's family. It's a family. You're either in the family or out of the family. And then also, like, dudes don't have a problem fighting chicks. So that, it was like a weirdly very feminist movie where I felt like the whole thing was,
yeah,
like,
I mean, it's the
they
whole
never
movie
second
is...
guess like, whether or not Michelle Rodriguez should be there. And also, like, when she's stepping away from Vin Diesel, he's not, like, guilting her about it. Like, it's just very...
Yeah.
Women seem very in control of themselves in this movie. Mm-hmm. Except, I would say, for Jordana Brewster's character, who...
But...
I understand why they had to do what they had to do. But she just doesn't look that great to me in this movie. She got real thin, and that made it a little harder. It's really hard for me to watch women do that in their, early 30s. Just, lose a shit ton of weight. Because I think that's them freaking out because Hollywood is like, oh, you're in your 30s? Well, we're going to stop calling. So I just feel like women do whatever they can to stay in the loop. And it just sometimes leads to, extreme thinness that really is, tough for me to see.
She's always been too damn skinny for me.
Yeah.
Elbows.
But, something
I can see,
about this,
bones coming out your elbows.
Movie, she looks very sunken. But anyway, this is really specific stuff. I just think, especially in a movie where everybody's got... muscles and bodies going on. There are women in this movie with big, cool-ass, bodies. And so it almost makes her seem even more stark and, fragile.
They do a really... My voice is cracked there. Sha-na-na-na-na-na. They do a really smart thing in the advertising for this movie. They're really selling it as, this group of people...
Yes.
...are on this mission. You know? I mean, That's one of the things they've talked about, the fact that it's such a multiracial cast, the fact that it's men and women working together very easily. It's not like it's, even though who knows what's going to happen in the next one now that Paul Walker's not there, but it's very much like all of them coming back together, or all of them coming back together to accomplish a mission, to the point where they go back to movies and they go back to movies and characters show up, you know, it's very much a group effort, which I think is really smart.
I agree. And also, I'm so glad you brought up the demographics, because something else that is special about this movie is that I don't think it doesn't feel like, I mean, there's certainly no pandering or stunt casting going on in terms of, nobody was like, let's make this cast more diverse. It doesn't feel like. You look at it, it just seems like makes all the sense in the world that there's more than one black guy in the movie, or that there are brown people, you know, that there's multiple different, there's they go to Dubai and then they they go to whatever. They're there's multiple Hispanic people or Latinos, and it's very cool. And something that I heard was that I think the audiences, I mean, first of all, this movie is killing at the box office. Killing, killing, killing. And I think it was something 75% of the audience members are not white. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, I'm so happy for this movie, for what it's doing, because it's, the message is not overtly
it's
Tyler,
just a movie.
Tyler Perry's Tyler Perry
for
or
sure.
whatever.
Yeah.
And that's great too. But what I like is just saying, we can make a movie that includes people of color, mm-hmm. and people of color will come see it, and it will do really well.
It will do really well.
And we don't have to pander. We can just make a great movie, and also people will come see it because they see themselves represented.
Everyone will go see this movie.
Perfect thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, watching it...
Specifically, people of color are coming out to support this movie. That's
for sure.
Great.
I'm not trying
Absolutely.
To...
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is amazing to see a movie... And realize, oh, I haven't been looking at a white person in a long-ass time. It's the same feeling like we were talking about Empire last week. It is fun to watch experiences of other people. You know, that's why we go to movies, because we want to see other lives and we want to see other possibilities. And, God damn it, I don't always just want to see white people. It's really boring and annoying and stupid and not realistic. So
I was listening to the Grantland podcast, and they were talking about the Furious 7 movie, and they brought up a really good point, which I was like, absolutely. When it's a movie like this that is so multiracial, and then villains show up, and those villains are also either black or Latino or brown of some kind, it's not an issue why is the bad guy gotta look like that? It's just yep, see? Everybody, it's fair game now. You know, there can be just as many bad guys who look like that as there can be just as many good guys who look like that.
But the bad guys are all white in this movie.
What's up?
The bad guys are oh, no, never mind.
Yeah,
I forgot. There's
Jaiman Hunsu.
I forgot that he was in it. I apologize.
No. That's kind of what I'm speaking
to.
Like,
you're
when
totally
you see
right.
him,
yeah.
you're not here's a black guy now. You're just here's, I've already been watching an hour and 45 minutes of an Asian dude, a black guy, a Latino, right. a Latina. You know, it's just... It's just so great to get to that point where you're like, yeah, I don't give a shit what they look like because everybody looks so different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Totally into it. Let's get to some best and worst. Ricky, I'm going to start with you. What is the worst part of this movie?
This series really picked up in number 5 when they brought in The Rock. The Rock is, he is like the throwback contemporary action star now.
I love him.
So yeah. much fucking charisma.
You mean he's like Arnold or Stallone.
Exactly.
Or so. It's like that type of, but
other
way
level.
Bigger.
But other yeah. level. Exactly.
I think what's amazing is his self-awareness. And it's yeah. got to be all the time he spent in wrestling.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Oh. He's a performer.
Absolutely.
He's a performer.
Yeah.
Self-awareness. Absolutely.
Because he's very, like, he got not self-serious.
In the theater that I saw him in, he got an applause break, and he got several, like, just laugh-out-loud
oh,
yeah. moments.
Did he get an applause break when he flexed the cast off
right
of his
right he
arm?
Did. Goddamn right he did. Goddamn right.
That Insane. Was the most yeah. satisfying moment I've seen in a movie in a very long yeah. time, where you're like, I'm so, like, there was just a writer's room, and somebody was like, wait, what if we? And they were like, okay,
yes. yeah.
I mean, go for it, you know?
Yeah, so all that being said, not enough Rock in sure. this movie. I was really, a couple of things. Not enough Rock because Paul Walker's not around. I feel like they gave Vin Diesel more to do, and I wasn't always invested as much in Vin Diesel's story because it is such a group. There's such a group element to these movies
yeah.
that if you stick too much on one character, like Vin Diesel, or a little too much on Tyrese, I start to go, oh, what is everybody else doing, though? I want to bounce around a little bit more.
Now that you're saying that, I wonder if they couldn't get him or something. I wonder if he was tied up. Just because he's like doing,
you know what?
Maybe not.
He might. I know he's got that movie coming out where he's like California's gonna fall into
yeah,
the ocean or
he's
something.
Got that.
He might have just been busy as hell.
Yeah, that.
But
and I also think like him showing up with a minigun.
That's great.
Is
I mean,
such
so
a great
dope.
Payoff.
I mean, him just talking to his daughter.
Yeah.
And just like the report, every time The Rock showed up, I was like, yes.
He's the
so,
greatest.
Not
yeah.
enough. Not enough Rock in this.
Rhea, what's your worst part?
I really enjoyed the hell out of this movie, so it's, like, super hard. It's actually hard for me to think of a worse part, but I think that the worst part, and this is honestly nitpicking, is that if you haven't seen the movie leading into this, the beginning where they're kind of, they have to shift gears of, like, this is why Michelle Rodriguez can't remember anything, and she can't remember, and you, hey, we got to get this out of the way before we can do, that's the only thing that I was like, what? Like, it's a little clunky up top that, like, we immediately have to be like, yeah, she got knocked out in one of the movies you haven't seen. And so that's my only worst part.
Sure. And I think my worst part is honestly, and I'm sure you guys are going to debate me on this because I've already had some debate with Rhea about it. I just, the final fight with wrenches between Statham and Vin Diesel just like didn't do it for me as a final fight. Because I felt like by that point, the car stuff is so exciting and so great, it was almost a letdown to have them get out of their cars.
I disagree.
I just was like, I don't know. I mean, there's like a helicopter going out. We've seen so much at that point.
Yeah.
I understand that it
but
makes
they
sense
get,
to switch to hand-to-hand, but
in the
it
car.
Just didn't do it for me.
I actually agree with you. I thought that last fight sequence, that's not the ending for that movie. I thought the sequence in the mountains with Paul Walker climbing up the side of the
amazing.
Bus.
I mean,
that's the end of your movie right there.
I agree.
There.
Jesus
that, like, that was just like,
yeah,
that
it peaked too early for me
yeah.
because there was so much awesome stuff. So that, I mean, that's a silly complaint because I loved everything else, but I just was like, okay, I guess. You know why else it peaked too early? That fight, but also the Michelle Rodriguez Ronda Rousey fight was so satisfying. They'd already done the, what if they actually fought with their hands? Then it was like, and these other people are going to, like, it just didn't, The Rock had already done his finishing move 5 minutes into the movie. I
thought that fight
care.
Was too short.
Yeah,
I could have seen Michelle and, what is her name?
Ronda Rousey.
I thought they could have fought a little bit more.
I agree with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that
totally
was
agree.
Really badass.
It was awesome. I know. Ricky, what is the best part of this movie?
Oh, man. The, That sequence in Dubai with the car jumping three buildings.
Oh, my God.
You have to really... I mean, you have to have a mindset going into this movie. Like, this is what's going to happen in this movie, and it's going to be plausible.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't...
That is the craziest part, right? Where you're like, this is completely batshit insane, but yeah. I believe it.
Yeah. And like that moment happening, and the whole plan and the reveal, and this is where Tyrese worked... Where he's in the plane, they're all like in that big ass whatever the fucking kind of plane is, and they're being parachuted out.
So
that's a goddamn action sequence. That's huge.
Nice that there's like jokes in that.
Yep.
In that
it hits
parachuting
everything.
Section.
Yeah, it hits really everything.
Yep. And the like stress on their body, like that they're shaking around. Like they did a really nice job with it. It looks
there's a
really
callback joke with him just like sailing around. I mean, that's hilarious.
I know.
So
it's
great.
So good. It's like a 70s road movie, you know, with like
it's
silly
stuff. It's all Cannonball Run
happening in the background.
Yeah, really.
What's the best part of this movie?
My best part is that Michelle Rodriguez, Ronda Rousey fight, because I was like, oh, great. Here's dolled up women. In these, you know, these fancy dresses, is gonna be. And I was like, oh, it's a real fight. Like, you never get to see women actually fight each other, and they just fought each other.
Yes, like not hair pulling at all.
Yeah, no hair pulling. They fought each other like the dudes fought each other. Like, if you take away the fact that Vin Diesel and Jason Statham are using wrenches that would absolutely kill each other if they landed one on their skull, like they would just fracture their skulls and be dead. If you took that away, like, that fight with those women is the same as that fight with those dudes. You know, like, they didn't like, lower any stakes, and they didn't make there be extra stuff. And Michelle Rodriguez has to fight off, like, a squad of women, too.
That's pretty awesome.
I felt appreciated in that moment watching that film. I felt as though they finally gave me something that I'd wanted to see, and I loved it, and I was so happy to see it. Two women beating the shit out of each other.
I will say that my best part of this movie is that, and you guys both kind of touched on this, that this movie made me realize why I'm sick of comic book movies. And it's because I'm like sick of watching things that can't happen. Like I'm sick of watching, I'm full up. I'm full up on aliens look the exact same. Like surfing on weird alien surfing devices while they like pop through a sky portal. Like I'm just full up on it. I'm full up on like giant hammers.
Are you sick of tesseracts?
I've just seen so many tesseracts. Like I might be done
with tesseracts.
It's just too much. Like explanation and who the fuck is that and like what's that sword do? Like I've just seen so much of it. And what is great about this movie, it made me feel hope in my. Saying that I love action movies because I always say that I do, and then we see all these movies for the show, and I'm like, well, I fucking hated this.
I give it a one.
And it's because, like, this movie just all you needed to know was just like, let's go. Like, you didn't need to know anything else, you didn't need to care about anything else. Like, just let's go. Everything seems believable, everything seems plausible. You're like, absolutely they could do that. Absolutely they could land that jump. Thank God they got out of the car in time. Otherwise, they would have died. You know, like, it's
a good thing Michelle Rodriguez was there to swing that man around.
It's just, like, it was so thrilling, and I was, like, jumping up and down. And actually, I would say that Edge of Tomorrow, I think the reason I liked it so much, looking back on it, is because as implausible as, like, time jumps and all that stuff was, like, the fighting was like this hand-to-hand shit that we just don't get to see that much anymore. Like, we just don't get to see regular people put into extreme circumstances and then fighting their way out. So
yeah.
I loved it.
True that.
For that reason. Okay. Ricky, scale of 1 to 5 cars jumping between buildings. How many jumping cars you give this movie?
I will give this 4 jumping cars in between buildings.
Rhea, scale of 1 to 5 cars jumping out of planes. How many jumping cars do you give this movie?
I give it 5 cars jumping out of planes because I haven't had this much fun in the movie theater since I saw the Lego movie. I mean, I just, like, everything this movie did, once it started, it never got bad. You know, like, everything, they went exactly where I wanted them to go, every single time. I was like, no, wait, yes, oh my God, yes, yeah. It was like, it was
right
great.
Right up till that wrench
so
fight.
So much fun. I liked it. I had a great time.
Well, on a scale of 1 to 5 cars jumping off a cliff, I'm giving Furious 7 5 jumping cars as well. And we will leave you with this. What do you think about this week, Rhea?
I watched a show that just got added to Netflix, which was on IFC. I watched a show called Garfunkel and Oates, and I loved it. I watched it all. I turned it on, and I didn't turn it off until it was done.
And those girls are nice.
Yeah, they're so great. And they just made a really awesome, fun show about being a female comic.
Yeah.
Specifically in Los Angeles, but it's just like...
So shout out to Ricky Lindholm and Kate Micucci.
Yeah, they made a really great show that I really loved. And the second season of Broad City is gorgeous. It's like a brilliant television show, and I can't believe it.
Hooray. Ricky, what are you thinking about?
Oh, so many good things going on. Music-wise, I have found when I want to get like all ignorant and shit, I've been listening to this song called Trophies by Young Money and Drizzy, our boy Drake. What does he say? He's got this great line in it. It's a fucking, what does he say? Put some fucking champagne in a tub song. I love it. This shit is not a fucking love song. Woo! Fire! Another great song, The Art of Storytelling, Part 4. Outkast got songs and parts, and Part 4 has this verse by Andre 3000 where he kills it. He tells you exactly like it is and exactly how it could be. And that shit is hot. And then for all you househeads out there, All the Time by Pevin Everett on this album called, I think it's called All Night Party, some shit like that. But it's got a beautiful fucking soul singer on there letting you know that she's thinking about you all the time.
Ricky likes music.
Yeah. And I've been reading again.
What are you reading?
Yay.
I finished that Sly and the Family Stone book, which is fantastic. And now I'm reading Questlove's Mometa Blues, which is fantastic.
Well, I am also reading, and that was going to be what I was going to talk about. I'm reading Batwoman, and this is very good. It's part of the DC Comics New 52 series. And I just picked it up at Meltdown Comics because I was there the other night.
Was very kind and gave you my money from it.
What?
Yes, you got a bonus gift. And
what?
I said, I would like to please have this Batwoman. And it was very good. And so I would like to recommend Batwoman. You know she's a lesbian, Ricky. Did you know that?
I did not.
She's one of them lesbians.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Has she met up with Catwoman yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Oh,
see what I said? That's what I said, not
cop,
yet.
You know.
Okay.
Well, until next week. Hey, for next week's show, first of all, we'll be watching Bound. It's available on Netflix Watch Instant. Please check it out. You are gonna be so... If you like Batwoman, you're gonna love Bound. Starring Jennifer Tilly and Gina Gershon. And until then...
You didn't let Ricky do his thing. He's
and
like
for next week, we're watching Bound.
Pretty fucking dark in here. I didn't like that one as much as the first time.
I love it.
Ah, damn it.
Ricky's nailing lines from the movie.
Corky.
Pretty fucking.
Do you want to touch my tattoo?
It's a really good movie. Actually, we'll just be reenacting it.
We're just
going to do lines. We're just going to do
radio
lines.
Radio show of it.
Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher. Who are you pointing at?
Well, which one?
Sort of pointing at Ricky.
Sorry.
Say your names at the same time.
Yeah. I'm
Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pebbles. Thank you, Lindsay. Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.